Amen. Amen. So children can go with Kelly. If you would like them to, they're welcome to stay as well. Hey, this was my week of being away in the first early part of every year. I try to go away for a few days just to pray and fast. And so that was this this past Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. If you thought of me and lifted me up in prayer, I so appreciate that. So it's especially exciting for me to come back and preach Sunday after I've been away for a few days and had a chance to be alone with the Lord a little bit more than on a regular week. So I want to continue what I started last week. And the title of the message, the series that we're in right now that we started last week, The Communion of the Holy Spirit. And it's taken from this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It was Paul's, I used the word last week, valediction. It was his closing, these were his closing words. This is the last verse of 2 Corinthians. And this was what he said, and this is what he wanted to leave the Corinthian believers with as he was signing off on his letter. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And, sometimes you think, okay, Pastor Tim, he's going to talk about the Holy Spirit, so we're going to get into the gifts of the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, maybe somewhere down the road I will, but this is not what this is about. Because I tell you, if you get this matter of the communion of the Holy Spirit straight, everything else will work itself out, right? Sometimes, you know, as charismatic people, whatever, you know, we get all into this, we turn it into this, forgive me, this stupid formula about, you know, just do this, do, you know, and we're just missing the work of the Holy Spirit, the communion, the relationship that we can have. And I was just so taken, you know, over the last month and a half or so, I just really felt challenged of the Lord that I need to grow in my relationship with the Spirit of God, that I need to learn how to walk in communion with the Holy Spirit moment by moment. And that is not something that is just for me. That's something for all of us. And I really believe this is a journey that we can be on together. And so as I'm learning more and more how to walk in that communion of the Holy Spirit and acknowledge Him continually throughout my day, and that's really been my focus, you know, as we enter into this new year, and I want you to come along on this journey with me. But, you know, I mentioned last week just a couple of things that we talked about last week. You know, this is a beautiful verse in terms of the Trinity, right? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and as I said last week, when you see it, you know, the term God, you know, just mentioned standing alone like that in Scripture, it's a reference to God the Father, and then the communion of the Holy Spirit. And I even went, I said, well, it's a teachable moment. And I read a little bit of the Athanasius Creed and so forth. And again, you know, the triune nature of God, the Trinity, you know, one of the things the Athanasian Creed says is, you know, we don't divide the substance or the essence. I think there's something like that in there. And so I'm not trying to make this so regimented and separated and whatever, but I think this verse helps us to understand how we interact with the Spirit of God, with God, with the triune nature, with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our lives. So I think it's wonderful to, when you look at it, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, when you look at the cross of Jesus Christ, you are seeing the greatest demonstration, the greatest visible demonstration of the grace of God in all the universe, the cross of Jesus Christ. And, of course, we know God's love, His agape, unconditional, perfect love, the love of God, and then the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And again, you don't, we're not trying to, you know, this mystery of the Trinity, we're not trying to divide it up. You know, I'm not saying that the Father doesn't show grace or that the Holy Spirit doesn't show love, because they're all part of the one eternal God, right? The Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Father, Son, and Spirit are part of the one eternal God, and they share all the qualities and characteristics and attributes of each other. You know, so again, we don't want to make it so that, you know, it's so regimented. Is there overlap? Of course, because they're all God. You can't be inflexible, but so inflexible about it. But it helps us to understand how we interact with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think to a degree, we understand, you know, the Father and the Son. You know, we can kind of, maybe wrap our heads around that a little bit. But it's like the Spirit becomes like this strange unknown or we look at sometimes the Holy Spirit like this inanimate force or something in our lives. And, you know, again, we kind of understand maybe, you know, because the terms that we use, you know, the personhood, you know, the person of the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit, we can kind of get the Father and the Son, but the Holy Spirit's like, well, I don't quite get that part of it. When we are born again, it is God, the Holy Spirit, that connects with our spirit and makes us spiritually alive. Jesus said what? He said, it is necessary that I go to the Father, because unless I go and until I go, then the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, the Paraclete, as it says, as the word is in Greek, cannot come to you. The Holy Spirit, as I say again, is not an inanimate force. He is the third person of the Trinity. This word person can throw you off, you know, not like a person like you and I, like a human being. I think something up here. I've already been through all this grace and love and communion of the Holy Spirit. But person, the possessing self-conscious individuality and self-directing power. And that applies to God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we experience the agape, as I said already, the perfect unconditional love of God. We experience the grace of God through the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. But again, I ask you this morning, Am I experiencing the communion of the Holy Spirit? This is something that's for every one of us. So I talked a little bit about this word communion. Some of you know it's the word koinonia in the Greek. And I read from Vine's Dictionary last week, having in common, partnership, fellowship, sharing, participation. Some of the things that Vine says. And then he says this, It's the practical effects of fellowship with God wrought by the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers as an outcome of faith. So I want to just, you know, dig into this a little bit deeper, this word koinonia. It implies presence, the presence of God. God is present with us through the Holy Spirit. The communion of the Holy Spirit is the sweet presence of God in our lives. It also, another word that sometimes the word koinonia is translated is fellowship. It is the fellowship that we have with God. We talk to the Spirit. We communicate and fellowship with the Spirit. Now, Jesus said, he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name. You know, that was what he taught us regarding prayer. So it's not like we, you know, always asking the Holy Spirit, but we communicate. We're in a relationship and we talk to the Spirit. We share our hearts, I believe. You know, it's all that is happening. It's just like a relationship that you would have with a person that you love. And, you know, we need to seek the communion of the Holy Spirit like a thirsty man seeks water. And it may sound strange to some people. It may sound weird to some people, but it needs to come to the place in our lives where it is the most natural and normal thing to have that fellowship with the Spirit of God as we walk through our lives. It is a sharing together. We share together. We pour out our hearts. God pours through His Holy Spirit His burden into our hearts, our joys, our burdens, our sorrows, our joys, and so forth. All that comes as we share together. The word also means participating with, or to, you know, be in participation with. And there's this interesting verse. The Holy Spirit is our partner. I know that may sound strange, but there's this verse. And this verse, I'll tell you, it always bugged me. It kind of stuck in my craw a little bit. I always thought it was a strange verse, and I understand. I totally understand and believe fully in the inerrancy of the Scripture and all, but this verse, I didn't get it. Because this is in Acts chapter 15, when they had the Jerusalem Council, and they're trying to decide how to deal with the, the Gentile believers, the Gentiles that were coming to know Christ. And when it was all done, James stood up and he said this. He said, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these things necessary." And so every time I'd read that verse, I'd say, who cares what you think, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Who cares what the apostle, and I'm not trying to speak negatively toward the apostle or any of these people that were involved in this big coming together in Jerusalem, but the Holy Spirit doesn't need your permission, right? He doesn't need our approval to do something. And I always wondered, why do they say it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us? Because it points to the partnership that we have with the Spirit of God. It's a sign of the partnership with the Holy Spirit when the things that are His priorities become the things that are our priorities. Amen? Communion also implies intimacy, that we have an intimacy with the Lord. There is no other way to have a deep love relationship with God but through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings that intimacy into our lives. You can't love the Father, the Son, or the Spirit without that deep intimacy of the Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 5:5, it's not on the screen, it says, "The love of God has been shed abroad into our hearts," or poured into our hearts, how? By the Holy Spirit. There is a level of intimacy that we find as we learn how to walk in this active, dynamic communion of the Holy Spirit throughout our lives. And one last thing, and I kind of save this one for the end. Communion, koinonia, that word, it also implies a friendship with God. And I got really, really excited about this. Because I was away, like I said, I was gone away on retreat this week, and I was by myself just spending time in prayer Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And as I was praying, and I was doing a lot of reading and studying about this because I want to continue to take this a little farther each week as we come together. And I journal, you know, and I do it like on my tablet, you know, because I can type pretty fast. It's quicker than writing things out longhand. So I'm just, you know, praying. And sometimes if I sense that the Lord's saying something to me, I definitely want to make sure I write that down so I can hold that and not forget it. But sometimes I'm also just writing down things and pouring out my heart to God. And I found myself writing these words. I think I put them up here. Holy Spirit, you are my best friend in the whole wide world. And you know, I stopped for a second and I thought about it. And I thought, am I just caught up in the moment? You know, because I'm away and I'm spending some extended time in prayer. Am I just kind of caught up in the moment that I just, you know, just said, oh, Holy Spirit, you're my best friend in the whole wide world. Maybe I was just kind of exaggerating or something. And I stopped and I thought about it and I contemplated those words. This is just me just trying to just express myself and pour my heart out to God. And the more I thought about it, the more excited I got about it, and the more I said, absolutely, 100%, no questions asked. The Holy Spirit is my best friend and your best friend in the whole world. Think about that. You know, sometimes as pastors, and I know we do this, try not to overhype things a little bit. I guess when it comes to God, you can't overhype anything. But, you know, if it's really from God. But sometimes, oh, this is the, you know, whatever. You know, this message, this meeting, this whatever. And I don't want to do that. But I'll tell you what. If you can grasp a hold of this truth, it is life-changing. It is life-changing. If you can come to the point in your life where you really understand and acknowledge and live in that place where the Holy Spirit of God is your best friend, That is life changing. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. Do you desire that in your life? This is the thing, you know, so often, you know, and listen, you know me, I'm all about the spiritual disciplines. I want to be in the Word. I want to be in prayer. And I want to do the things, you know, be faithful, share my faith and all that. But man, oh man, sometimes we can get so, you know what, this just hit me. One of the things that I was been praying about a lot over the last, I don't know, probably go back quite a ways, is that, Lord, sometimes I just feel too mechanical. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like I get a little too mechanical in my life. I mean, and I am all about faithfulness. I am all about putting one foot in front of the other. You know? Putting your hand to the plow and you're not turning back. Right? But sometimes I also said, Lord, I don't want to be so mechanical in my life. And I think, it's funny, all this is like coming to me as I'm standing up here. I think it was when, as I was really praying about that, and then I think on the heels of that, the Lord began to reveal some of this stuff to me. And it's not, I mean, this is no deep revelation, or maybe it is, but the Spirit of God is our absolute best friend. So I elaborate on it a little bit more. I thought about it a little bit more. I talk to him more than anyone else. I pour out my deepest struggles to him. Things that I might not feel that I could share with anybody. But I can share them with the Holy Spirit. I trust him more than anyone else. I value his input and his counsel more than anyone else. He has promised to never leave me. He is with me 24/7. He is my best friend. And he is only a breath away. The Holy Spirit is my best friend in the whole wide world. I hope that you're starting to understand, you know, this isn't just, you know, let's do a teaching on the Holy Spirit. Right? What I'm trying to communicate with you about the communion of the Holy Spirit. So last weekend, I was getting ready, you know, here, you know, obviously was here at service last week and then went home and, you know, was getting some things ready or whatever. And, was leaving on Monday morning, but I felt like the Lord had just dropped a thought into my mind, and that was to read a book that I had read many years ago. And the book is called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Anybody ever hear that book? And I thought, I read that book. Actually, I looked, it was written in 1990. And it was written by Benny Hinn. Now, Benny Hinn has his critics. His life, his ministry hasn't been perfect, as if mine is or anybody else's is. He had some financial issues over the years. His wife divorced him, although 3 years later they reconciled and had a beautiful remarriage ceremony. He's been accused of maybe being too much over into the prosperity gospel and such. And as I understand, I was just doing a little, because I kind of lost track. I was like, you know, Lori and I, we kind of grew up around, you know, because he used to come to Brockport all the time, right? And because Pastor Don knew him well, and, you know, I don't know, it was a big deal or whatever. But over the years, I haven't really, you know, kept up with Benny Hinn's ministry. I didn't even know I had no idea, you know. So I did a little research on his ministry and, you know, the prosperity gospel thing, he's acknowledged that and has drawn away from that, and that's good to hear. I actually, Friday night, I was watching just for a few minutes, I was flipping through the television, and I got to Daystar, you know, the Christian station, and they had Reinhard Bonnke's funeral service on. Oh, my goodness. He died, I can't remember exactly when. Matt, do you remember? It was in 2019, but it was recent, within the last 3-4 months, maybe. Reinhard Bonnke was an evangelist who's the majority of his ministry was in Africa, and has documented legitimate 79 million people that acknowledged Christ as their Lord and Savior under the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke. And so they had but my point is this: they had an amazing, interesting array of people that they weren't there at the service, but there were little video clips. I mean, they covered the gamut. And Benny Hinn was one of them. I thought, oh, isn't that interesting? Benny Hinn was on there. Kenneth Copeland, some of, you know, that woman, she takes a lot of heat too. And I don't know much about her. Paula White, she's taken a lot of hits. And everybody, you know what? You stand up and do something for God, you're going to get knocked up. You know, people are going to be after you. She's the one who President Trump says she is his personal pastor, Paula White. So there's this amazing, a bunch of different people. Kenneth Copeland says he's doing his thing, and he said, you know, Reinhard Bonnke told me once that if you hear that Reinhard Bonnke, maybe he not told him personally, but he said, if you hear that Reinhard Bonnke died, don't believe it. Amen? He said, I just moved. I just got a new address. I love it. But anyway, so Benny Hinn was on there. I thought, well, this is interesting. I just read this book. So my point is this, and I didn't even need to go into all that. Forgive me. I'm sorry for going into all that. But, you know, when I taught on apologetics last fall, I said, truth is truth no matter who says it. Amen? Yeah. And if a person who is of impeccable character and purity, if they say something that's in error, it's still in error, right? Doesn't matter how great of a person they are, right? And if a person speaks truth, it doesn't matter if they're a scoundrel. Truth is truth. So I pulled this book up. Oh, here's the point. I thought, I have not seen that book in my bookshelf in years. And, you know, always this is a pastor's struggle. What do you do with books, right? You know, and giving away and boxing them up and this and that. And I think I was telling Lori just on Friday night, we were talking. We were with Ron and Karen Domina. I had dinner with Pastor Ron and Karen. And so I think I'm at the point where I'm ready to go Kindle. You know, I think I'm ready to go the ebook thing or whatever. But so I said, I don't think I even have that book anymore. And how am I going to find it that quickly? I come up to my office and I look around and there it is. You know, and I thought, I haven't seen that book in years. And so I took it with me, all that to say. I took it with me, and you know what I found as I was reading it this week? It is an amazingly biblical book. It is solid biblical. Oh, I was just blown away by it. And, you know, and so I just wanted to, I'm just going to read one little section from this. And I'll tell you, I had written, I didn't, when I wrote that phrase, Holy Spirit, you're my best friend in the whole wide world, I didn't know that was in here. But Benny Hinn, if you know, he was born in Israel. He's Armenian descent. His family, his father actually was the mayor of Haifa, Israel. And eventually they immigrated to Canada, and he spent his teen years and on up through in Toronto. And so he got saved as a 18, 19-year-old, I think. And so he'd been a Christian for a couple of years. And a friend of his up in Toronto said, hey, we're going to take a bus to Pittsburgh next week. We're going to go see a Catherine Kuhlman meeting. And so Benny Hinn didn't know anything about it. He says, yeah, I'll go along with you. So he says a terrible winter day, and the bus leaves Toronto and goes to Pittsburgh. They get in late at night. And his friend Jim said, Benny, we've got to be at the church at 5 o'clock in the morning. It was a big Presbyterian church in Pittsburgh where this meeting was going to be. He said, we've got to be there at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's like, what are you talking about? 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't think the meeting was at 7 o'clock at night. I think it was sometime during the day, which is maybe it was a Saturday or so. I don't know. But still, it was hours ahead of when the meeting was supposed to start. And his friend said, "Benny, if we don't get there at 5 o'clock in the morning, we're not gonna have a seat. Period." So he said, "We bundled up, you know, put layers on, and got there." And he said, "I just couldn't fathom why people lining up like hours ahead of time to get into church. You know, I mean, he was saved and he loved the Lord, but he just didn't get all this." So he sits through his first Catherine Kuhlman meeting. I think it was 1973, if I recall right. But this is the part I just wanted to read. "As the service continued, I quietly prayed. Everything stopped suddenly. I thought, please, Lord, don't ever let this meeting end. I looked up to see Catherine burying her head in her hands as she began to sob. She sobbed and sobbed so loudly that everything came to a standstill. The music stopped. The ushers froze in their positions. Everyone had their eyes on her, and for the life of me, I had no idea why she was sobbing. I'd never seen a minister do that before. What was she crying about? I was told later that she had never done anything like that before, and members of her staff remember it to this day. It continued for what seemed like 2 minutes. Then she thrust her head back. There she was, just a few feet in front of me." They had gotten in, you know, or sitting close to the front. "Her eyes aflame, she was alive. In that instant, she took on a boldness I had never seen in any person. She pointed her finger straight out with enormous power and emotion, even pain. If the devil himself had been there, she would have flicked him aside with just a tap. It was a moment of incredible dimension. Still sobbing, she looked out at the audience and said with such agony, 'Please!' She seemed to stretch out the word." If you ever heard Catherine Kuhlman preach, "Please don't grieve the Holy Spirit." She was begging. If you can imagine a mother pleading with a killer not to shoot her baby, it was like that. She begged and pleaded, "Please," she sobbed, "don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Even now I can see her eyes. It was as if they were looking straight at me. And when she said it, you could have heard a pin drop. I was afraid to breathe. I didn't move a muscle. I was holding onto the pew in front of me, wondering what would happen next. Then she said, 'Don't you understand? He's all I've got.' I thought, what's she talking about?" Then she continued her impassioned plea, saying, "Please don't wound him. He's all I got. Don't wound the one I love." I'll never forget those words. I can still remember the intensity of her breathing when she said them. In my church, the pastor talked about the Holy Spirit, but not like this. His references had to do with gifts or tongues or prophecy. Not, and this is, "He's my closest, most personal, most intimate, most beloved friend." Catherine Kuhlman was telling me about a person that was more real than you or I. Then she pointed her long finger down at me and with great clarity said, "He's more real than anything in this world." I hope you're beginning to maybe just get a sense of what's in my heart and beginning to understand what Paul meant when he talked about the communion of the Holy Spirit. I'll say again what I said a moment ago. I talk to him more than anyone else. I pour out my deepest struggles. I seek his input. I value his counsel more than anyone. I trust him more than anyone. He's promised he'd never leave me. He's with me 24/7. He's my best friend. He is my best friend in the whole wide world. If ever BFF meant anything, it should mean something here. He is my best friend forever. You know, I just feel like we should just stop. There's a little bit more I want to get into. I'm not sure if we'll get into it right now or not. But I don't want to lose this moment. And I just want to let the Spirit of God just minister to your heart. And I just ask you, just close your eyes and just think about those words. that he is our best friend in the whole world. Holy Spirit, please reveal yourself to us. Please help us to know that we can have an ongoing, moment by moment, intimate relationship with you, Spirit of God. I pray that you would increase our desire for such a thing, for such a relationship. I found myself when I was away this week and I was praying through all this stuff, I said, I owe you the deepest apology, Holy Spirit of God, for the times when I've ignored you, for the times when I've acted like you didn't exist. If you would have asked me doctrinally, yes, I could answer all the questions. But I wasn't living my life with that reality of you being there with me every moment and being my very best friend. There's a whole lot more I had this morning, and I'll come back to it next week, but I'll just mention the Bible talks about, and it was mentioned in that little thing I read about Catherine Kuhlman, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve is a love word. People who don't like you, they can get angry at you, but only people who love you grieve. Paul said, don't grieve the Spirit of God. You can resist. Stephen in Acts 7 said, why do you continue to resist the Holy Spirit? You can insult the Spirit. It says, I believe, in Hebrews chapter 10. We'll maybe go through these more in depth next week. All of these things. We can grieve the Spirit. We can resist the Spirit. We can insult the Spirit. It says in, you know, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, Peter said what? He said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And a few verses later, he says, why do you test the Holy Spirit? And we know the outcome of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. But this is where I'll close. I think one of the things that we do most in terms of sinning against the Holy Spirit is simply ignoring Him. We can ignore the Spirit of God. You ever been in a place in your life or, you know, just going about your daily life, going here, going there, go into the bank, you go into a store, you go into a restaurant, you go here or there, and people ignore you, you know? There's one particular place, and I won't throw this person under the bus, obviously I'm not going to mention where or who, but there's one place, and I go somewhat with some regularity, and the person, for goodness sakes, is a receptionist. They need a new line of work, I'm telling you. Yes. They're clickety-clacking on their computer. And you stand there, not 3 feet from them, and they don't look up. They don't acknowledge you're standing there. It gets very uncomfortable, at least in my inside of me. Start to get angry. You know, start to get a little frustrated. All they'd have to do is say, I'll be with you in a moment, right? I'll just be with you in a second. But this particular person, like I said, they need a new line of work because receptionists, you know, if they were to fill out a thing about gifts, you know, what their receptionist isn't one of them. And I thought, okay, if it's just one time, but it's every time. And one time I happened to be talking to a manager in that facility about something, and I said something. And they said, yeah, we have that problem quite a bit with this person. I'm thinking, okay. I'm not saying I don't want that person, you know, to lose their job. You know, but maybe they just need a reassignment of some kind. But they act like, you know, they finally are doing you the biggest favor in the world just to look up and acknowledge that you're standing there, you know. And there's an annoyance about them, you know, that why are you bothering me when I'm trying to get my work done or whatever. But here's my point. How many times have we ignored the Holy Spirit? When he's right there, he's a breath away. He's so close and wants to be so intimate with us, and we go about our day as if he doesn't even exist. I don't want you to fear, you know, like, oh my goodness, you know, if I ignore the Holy Spirit, I'm going to lose my salvation. It's not like that. It's just he withdraws his conscious from our conscious thoughts, you know, and we miss the beautiful fellowship that we can have. And as I said, I was like, Spirit of God, I repent. I am so sorry. I don't know if apologize is the right word with God, but, you know, for the times in my life when I've ignored you, just we need a visitation of his Spirit. And God, that you would help us to do everything in our lives that we can to make you feel welcome, to make you feel wanted, to make you feel invited. What did David say when he was confronted with his sin in Psalm 51? He said, oh, take not your Holy Spirit from me. When you hurt a child, they withdraw, right? Any person, doesn't have to be a child, I don't know why I said a child, but they just kind of withdraw, you know, like, and I think in a sense, the Holy Spirit, you know, if we ignore him or we do one of these things I mentioned here a moment ago, it's just like there's a withdrawing and he's not a part of our conscious thoughts and like he wants to be. If we offend him, if we ignore him, he simply withdraws that sense of his presence from our lives. And you know what? We become so accustomed to that, we start thinking that's normal. That that's just the normal way it is. And so we go about our lives and we don't even realize what we're missing and what we could have each and every day and each and every moment of our lives. I'm going to ask you to stand. I don't know. It stirs me so much. I want those not to just be words. Holy Spirit, you're my best friend in the whole wide world. I want that to be my, yeah, every day, every moment reality. I think sometimes Pentecostal charismatic Christians have done more harm to the work of the Holy Spirit because we have institutionalized, we have formalized, we have turned it in again to a formula sometimes. It's all about, you know, pray this, do this, God, you know, tongues, whatever, you know, and I don't believe there's one thing that God did in his word that he's not willing to do again today. But you know what? That's not what this message is about. If you get the communion of the, I think I already said this, but if you get the communion of the Holy Spirit right, you get that part, you know, clicking along in your life, everything else will just fall into place. You know, you have to worry about it and make a big thing about it or whatever. I'm not saying we don't ask or don't, you know, Paul says, desire earnestly the best spiritual gifts and all that. I get it. But I tell you, I am just about a relationship that God wants to have with us through his Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Oh, we can have such a tremendous intimacy. Father, I pray for us that we would not settle. I think that, you know, when I read that story from the book, Benny Hinn said, you know, from that day on, it just changed his life to realize that there was a relationship, there was a level, there was a depth of intimacy that he just never was aware of. And God, if somehow, some way, could whet the appetite of those of us here today to desire that sort of ongoing relationship with you and through your Holy Spirit, oh God, that it would just be, it truly, truly be life-changing. I pray. You know, I think the title of that book is, you know, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Every day, just acknowledge. You know, I said that last week, and I led you in a prayer, and I have some of you asked me to give you that prayer, and I was going to send it out via email because I kind of wrote a prayer about this, you know, acknowledging the Spirit of God in our lives. And you know, I'm probably going to keep modifying that a little bit the more I go, so I will send something out there so that those that want to kind of have that in their own prayer lives. But God, I just ask you to work in our hearts to make it so that we can say, not just in words, but from our hearts, that you are our best friend, that you are there with us. You are so close to us. I pray that every day when we get up, we would, you know, think about you and that you're with us and that you go before us. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, the Apostle Paul said in Romans, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the children of God. That's what you want for us, Lord, and we want to embrace it too. And I pray every person here is willing to embrace that also. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, your mission, your assignment, cultivate that relationship with the Spirit of God. You will be changed, I guarantee it. Amen? God bless. You're dismissed.